Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. We talk with Jean Creighton each month about astronomy. When she's not in our studio, though, she's very much still in the public eye, leading the Manfred Olson Planetarium at UW-Milwaukee.
This month, Lake Effect's Bonnie North talked with her about how she develops public programs and really learns about what people want to know.
I will talk about questions that I have asked for. So in other words, I'll go up to somebody and say, you know, if you had an astronomer next to you, I don't say who I am, what would you ask them? And often what they say is something like, I would like to know how far the nearest star is, or I would really like to get my hands on how far Mars is, that kind of thing. And I think, what an interesting question to ask, because that is knowable. I mean, Google will provide the answer for any search engine will tell you. But I think what people are really asking is, give me some context, because I can see so many millions of miles, but what does that really mean?
It's kind of like people who go between the metric system and, you know, the system we have here. It's like, I know what 2 inches is, but I don't necessarily know in terms of distance what 2 centimeters is.
Right.
So is that the kind of scale?
Yeah. Thing you're talking about? I think there are kind of 3 issues here. There are the funky units that we use in astronomy, and I'll get to that in a moment. They're also typically fairly large numbers that people shut down with if you tell them, oh, I'm billions of whatevers away. They don't like that. And I think the third thing is they wonder, well, how do you know that, right? That's the underlying assumption. So in terms of units, whether you use kilometers or miles, as far as I'm concerned as an astronomer, that's a difference that doesn't even matter in the scheme of things. However, often astronomical things are given in metric because it's so neat and tidy to have nice powers of 10. So when you tell a person the sun is 150 million kilometers away, you've hit them twice with the strange unit and the strange number. Sometimes in my classes, I say, for my purposes, just replace the kilometer with a mile. It's not exact, but it gives you an idea about what we're talking about. We're still talking about a very large distance, which is why we've replaced it with what we call the astronomical unit. That is the distance between the sun and the earth. And that's a great yardstick to measure distances to planets, because now you're talking, 10 astronomical units, 50 astronomical units. Most people know what 50 anything looks like. They've experienced that firsthand. Whereas most people have no clue what 150 million of anything is. So I think using the appropriate yardstick helps you visualize distances to different things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that is one of the problems, is that we really have, as you say, no context for that, because it's the numbers are so vast, so big, that we just go, it's just a long way away.
Whatever
it is, I don't really know, because I have nothing to compare it to.
That's right. So astronomical units are super useful in the solar system, but when you leave the solar system, that yardstick is now too small. Useless, because again, the nearest star is going to be, you know, on the order of 200,000 astronomical units. Well, that's no good. So then you say, all right, so my next yardstick is going to be a light year. This is confusing to people because they say, what kind of unit is a light year? I mean, isn't that time? And you just remind people, remember how often you say it's 10 minutes away, because you're talking about, let's say, a car or on foot, but we use time to describe distance sometimes, not always, but sometimes we do. So it is a concept that we are familiar with. So all we're saying is that if we were traveling at the speed of light, if our car was, you know, in hyperdrive, we could get to the nearest star outside the solar system in 4 years.
Okay.
And that is a good yardstick for stars nearby. Now, if we're talking about galaxies, that's too short. We need millions of light years. So our closest big neighbor galaxy, the Andromeda Galaxy, is about 2 million light years away. That is, I think, how you can make sense of these big numbers and weird units if you think of them as yardsticks, so that you have some context of how far these things really are.
So after light years, what's the next thing? Is that parsec?
A parsec, again, as an astronomer, rough and tumble, is a light year.
Okay.
Okay, it's same order of magnitude. Okay. So a parsec is 3.3 light years. And the definition of a parsec has come because that is, it's more connected to what we measure. So we measure an angle, and we can basically invert that angle and make it into a unit of length.
So past light years, is there another astronomical unit of measurement, or do we still just keep talking in numbers of light years?
We still keep talking. It's just that now we talk about mega light years or giga light years. So at the very edges of the universe now, it helps to have billions of light years, which I get it, is pretty mind-blowing. But at least now you have a way to scaffold this so that you can see, oh, this is really, really close. Oh, I see. So if somebody tells you, oh, this galaxy is 30 million light years away, you know, oh, that's pretty close. So I basically now address the two concerns about the funky units and the large numbers. But I think in the heart of all this, people want to know, how on earth do you know that such and such is so far? And again, I wouldn't describe them as yardsticks, but I would describe them as a distance ladder is what we say in the business. So you basically figure out how far this thing is from you, let's say a planet, and you use some geometry to figure out that this planet is a fraction of, say, the distance between us and the sun. So you know that distance with respect to something you that is knowable, that you can measure directly.
That we can Google.
Google gets this information by somebody actually measuring it, right? So then you figure out, okay, good. So now I have a way of clenching this distance. And I also can check other methods against my best one so that I can calibrate them. So I can say, oh, this is how far, you know, let's say Jupiter is. Okay, nice. So now how do I get to that other place, to a star, which is a whole nother ball game, right? Okay, so now, again, it comes down to geometry. The trick is fairly straightforward. Is if you put your thumb at arm's length and put it in front of something, let's say a building, and you say, okay, I'm going to close one of my eyes and I'm going to keep my thumb on that building and just watch what happens against the background buildings, switch my eyes, it'll look to me like my thumb has moved with respect to the background. Are you with me?
Yep.
Good. That's called parallax. So we can measure parallax of fairly nearby stars when the Earth goes from one part of its orbit to the, in 6 months, it's going to be in the opposite part of its orbit. That's two astronomical units away. So our two eyes are two astronomical units away. And if the stars are relatively close to us, we can actually see that parallax. From that measurement, we can directly measure what the distance is in parsecs.
Okay.
So I can use that idea to figure out distances to stars up to about 1,000 light years or so. And then I need different tools. But again, the bottom line is I'm looking for ways of establishing relative distances based on either geometry or physical properties that will help me say, ah, that galaxy, you know what? It's just like that galaxy over there. And they have to be the same brightness. So the fact that this guy looks brighter than this other one means this guy is closer. And I know that sounds fairly naive, but as time goes on, we are able to establish pretty good standard candles. Not all astronomical objects are, but some are pretty good.
Okay. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people listening to this probably going, you know, my head's swimming with thinking about the math that is involved with this. But it actually sounds relatively straightforward, even for somebody who is not particularly math competent like me. You can just think of it in terms of these yardsticks,
right?
Like, and kind of get a sense. I think what kind of throws people off is that you don't have a sense of it in your body.
Right.
You know, most people in this country, if you say that's a foot long, you go, you know what that is.
Right.
Without necessarily being able to literally measure a foot,
right,
12 inches. But 250 million light years, you go,
I don't have any reference for that.
Yeah, yeah, my body just doesn't know what that is.
Right.
It's funny how we need to have it sort of physically in us to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. It helps. So if you can get it to numbers that you do have firsthand experience, then I think that makes a big difference in the clarity you have about the scale overall. And what's exciting about scale to me is that in astronomy, we deal, of course, with a very big, but because all we know from stars is basically their light almost entirely, we also have to worry about the very small, because we learn about the cosmos by how light interacts with matter. So we do need to worry about also the very, very small.
The subatomic particle.
The subatomic, that's right. And I think for all of science, basically scale is considered one of those fundamental concepts that it helps to have ways, even in daily life, to kind of see, oh, how does this fit in, you know, to my yardsticks?
Right. And how do I fit in to this whole big scale?
Yeah.
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 Well, thank you, Jean. I'm going to go calculate some distances now.
Oh, this was great fun. Thank you, Bonnie.
I wished on the moon for something I never...
Like Effect Astronomy contributor Jean Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at UW-Milwaukee, and she spoke with Bonnie North. More than